In the Matthew passage that was read so well today by Daniel and Caleb and Adriana, we see that Jesus was traveling to all the cities and villages, curing every disease and every sickness, teaching in the synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And it appears that his authority was established in these towns because of his miracles. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, for they were harassed, they were confused, and they were helpless like sheep. I'm sure the kids remember, and some of you out there, when a few weeks ago, Pastor Cheryl brought a little black-faced lamb that she was carrying that had been rejected by its mother. And Cheryl the shepherd took that little lamb into her home and until it could survive and get to, and be with the rest of the flock. Can you imagine what would happen to little lambs like that all across Canada if they did not have a shepherd? And that's what Jesus thought when he saw the crowds. He saw how they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't know where they were going. They were meandering helplessly throughout their lives. And Jesus had compassion on them. And then he did something that I found quite amazing. He turned, when he saw all these people in need, he turned to the disciples and he said to them, pray. These were inexperienced people. He turned to them and said, pray that there can be more workers to help us with all the need that is around. I wonder why Jesus asked them that. I won't know. But he asked them that just before, they didn't know this, just before he was going to send them out to do that kind of work without him. There are people in those kinds of situations, helpless and harassed and lost, all around us in this world, even in Regina. And many are feeling helpless, lost, nowhere to turn, confused, sick, wanting to die, and sometimes trying to die. In chapter 10, in verse 1, we see that Jesus, after asking the disciples to pray, he gave them the authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to be comfort to the people. And they were not very experienced. And it was at this point in Jesus' ministry that he was just beginning. And he gathered these 12 followers around him. And that wasn't uncommon in that day. Rabbis and teachers often collected apprentices around them who would carry on their work afterwards. And they were known as disciples, which is how Jesus' followers got that name. The other rabbis chose the brightest and the best and those that wanted to learn. But Jesus chose an unusual selection. Young men, possibly between the ages of 13 and 35, which was common with the other rabbis. And I want to start and look at them like the passage that was read today did that. There was Matthew, who wrote this gospel we're looking at, and he was a tax collector. Now, tax collectors were Jewish people chosen by the Roman government. And so they weren't well liked because they were, Israel was under their oppression. And then also many of the tax collectors cheated their very own people. And then there was Simon or Simeon, called the Zealot. That means he was a political radical. And he wanted to fight to free his people from this oppression from Rome. We have James and John, who were uneducated fishermen. And later on, in 3 years' time, they will be out establishing the kingdom, telling others what Jesus taught them. In the middle of that, before they went out, they had a period of arrogance. They wanted to be called the best disciples, the greatest disciples, and they wanted to sit on either side of the Messiah when Jesus came into his kingdom. And then we have Peter. Oh, before Peter, there were some that we don't hear anything about. They were probably quiet and reserved, but they stayed with Jesus and the other disciples and ministered and healed. And then we have Peter. And Peter was not quiet or reserved. I often identify with Peter because you act first and think later. And throughout his time with Jesus, he was reprimanded by Jesus because he did that. But he ultimately died for Jesus after serving as a teacher and a leader in the first Christian churches. But I've left out one disciple, Judas. And Judas traveled with them, and he taught, and he ministered to people, and he healed people, and ultimately he betrayed Jesus for a little bit of cash. There were no religious leaders or teachers among them. Jesus didn't necessarily choose the best, the popular, or the gifted. He chose ordinary people, even some other people wouldn't have chosen, even some we might not have chosen. They weren't particularly strong leaders in those 3 years. And at the end of his human life, Jesus' human life, when Judas was betraying him to these armed soldiers, the other 11 ran away. Although two of them went creeping back to that place where the court trial, the illegal court trial at night by the religious leaders, Peter and John went in. Peter sort of hung around, and 3 times he was asked if he belonged to that group of Galileans, if he was a follower of Jesus, and he goes, "No, not me." One article I read called the disciples a motley crew. I don't think they were musicians either. Another said they were misfits, and I identify with the word misfit. And today, many of us who are followers of Jesus are considered misfits with people around us. They're uncomfortable because we believe in the death and resurrection of Christ, and that Christ returned, that we would be reconciled to God. They feel uncomfortable because we say we are Christians, or I prefer the term followers of Jesus, because Christians has become almost nothing or political. And some people feel uncomfortable with us because of that. We may be misfits because we're struggling financially. Some of us are unwell. Some of us don't have a lot of education. Some of us are very young. And some of us are retired and getting older. And some of us are very old. But Jesus called each one of us. He called us, he chose us, just as he did those 12 followers back in 2,000 years ago. We are not exempted because of our age, our lack of experience or education, or because of what we've done or what we have not done. Jesus' disciples could be seen as misfits because they followed him throughout their 3 years of their lives, as well as what they were before that time. Now, sometimes Jesus got a little annoyed with them when they didn't seem to get it, and sometimes he despaired of them because of their lack of faith, but he never gave up on them. And as followers of Jesus today, it doesn't matter what our occupation or career is, what our personality is, what our education, our age, our nationality, our language, or even if we feel like a misfit for whatever reason. We are called to bring the love of God to the world God put us in, where we live and work or play and study, where we are not able to do the things that we couldn't do a few years ago. We are called to share that Christ came to restore our relationship with God. Isaiah 61 that Joshua read tells us that the Lord anointed us and sent us to bring the good news to the oppressed, to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners. And for us, it might just simply start by our loving the Lord where we are, just being ourselves, the person God created us to be, and in the world that he has put us in. It may be getting involved in your neighborhood, your school or your children's schools, or in your work or in some activities. It can also be your ministry here in and through the church. I could name them all. In the choir, in the reading the Bible group, in the Saturday lunch program. There are so many programs that we can be involved in, and through that are spreading the love of Jesus. There are so many ways to be involved in kingdom ministries and bringing the hope and love of God to the world around us. Lillian and Genesis led us through Psalm 100. Do you remember in Psalm 100, or read it in your bulletin, what Psalm 100 tells us about how we are to serve? I think it's page 4 in your bulletin. We are to serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, we have to teach these people to read the bulletin, right? Serve the Lord with gladness, and even with singing. I love that part. Going back to Matthew, that Adriana and Caleb and Donnell read for us. Matthew 10, verse 5 tells us the first time that Jesus sent those misfits out on their own. When I heard this passage was what I was to use, I put it on our family's WhatsApp. I really didn't expect to hear any results. I asked them for their questions, comments, what they thought about it. I got two responses, and both of them were about this first time that Jesus sent the disciples out on their own. And one said that Jesus was giving them a practice run while he was still on earth. And a grandchild likened the experience to gentle parenting. A parent lets a child learn in a safe environment while the parent is still there to assist as needed. Jesus sent them out after modeling what they should do and after giving them the authority to do what they should do while he was still on earth. And I thought both of those comments were quite pertinent to this passage. And the first time, and I did get questions on this from other people, the first time they were to only go to the people of Israel, not to the Gentiles, not to the non-Jews. And he was perhaps saying, go to the people you know. Go to the world that you live in. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And starting with people you know in the world where you are is wise advice. You don't have to go far away to bring hope or healing. The love of Jesus or the story of the kingdom, you don't have to go far away. You start where you are, your family, your neighbor, people all across the street, the people you work with, the people you go to school with. I mentioned earlier that some of us might feel like misfits in this world, particularly because we are followers of Jesus. And the truth is that followers of Jesus, we are not the only misfits. The fact that we may have felt out of place or rejected because of our relationship with Jesus could and should give us insight into the people God places in our lives who feel like misfits. But sometimes, and I'm talking here for the next couple of minutes, my own experience, sometimes we feel uncomfortable with other misfits and we don't want to be identified with them. And perhaps it's out of fear. Quite often it's out of fear. We avoid or even reject them. These people that we don't feel comfortable with, we have difficulty speaking with them. There are lots of people like that we don't feel comfortable with. People with cognitive differences. People with difficulty speaking our language. The homeless. So many groups of people who feel detached in this world. And again, from my personal experience, I have found that the most hurting people are the people who identify with the LGBTQ. And as followers of Jesus, we don't always respond to them with the love of Jesus. And sometimes we're a little afraid of them because they're different. And some of them, and I've talked to some, have been kicked out of their families by Christian parents because the parents were embarrassed or felt they were denying their own beliefs. And sometimes churches have done the same thing. These individuals often do not feel the love of God reflected in the churches or the people who have rejected them. And so they don't believe that the God who created them in his own image loves them. Some of them respond by getting angry or cynical, mad. And for this reason, they turn to unhealthy options to find what they feel they need. And there are many other groups, as I've mentioned before, who also feel this same way. They feel rejected by us in the church. They feel that we don't love them, and so they go to other places. A former colleague of mine at Canadian Bible College taught homiletics. That's teaching students how to preach. And when they would give sermons for the class, he'd wait until they were finished, and he would go, "So what?" In other words, what was the purpose of your sermon? What are you trying to tell us? And so at this point in mine, I'm saying, so what, Norma? What's this all about? I've mentioned a couple of things, but just to conclude, I know that all these people need the love of Jesus, just as I have. And we who are misfits because of following Jesus are many times the ones who reject them, and I mentioned that. There are many kinds of people with whom we've been harsh and have clouded or obliterated the love of Jesus we say we have in our lives. And the answer for us in the so what question is, we are called by Jesus to help those hurting, lost sheep find the love of God and experience a relationship with him. Jesus called his misfit disciples, and that includes us. He called them to bring hope and healing and restoration. We are called to bring this good news of Jesus, and we are called to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus to help those he's already brought into our lives or brought through our lives into a restored relationship with God. Today, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we are going to be singing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And it's a very fitting prayer in talking about serving the Lord. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, and we want to, whether we're afraid or not, we want to be used to bring hurting people into a loving relationship with the Lord.